very instrumental in our relay. She was our liaison between the school and Relay for Life of Hunterdon County.
Wow.
So she was very instrumental in getting us the school space and all of the resources that they provided to us.
Well, I know Chris Steffler. Chris Steffler has been on this show tons of times, and she's also sent a lot of students over here. And they have been nothing but open to helping all sorts of community events. So it's great that Ms. McKenna was able to convince Chris, which I'm sure didn't take any time at all, to have you guys participate over there. So that's awesome. I have a curious question, though. I get the sense that if you're going to this kickoff meeting, that you've already bought in, that you kind of think that you really want to participate. So I don't think there's a lot of sale going on your part, is there? It's just kind of like letting them know how to get the most out of the event on May 21st?
That's part of it, but we really do want to get people to come if they're not sure, if they don't even know about it. We've advertised in the newspaper that we're having this event. We're here today to let people know about it because we really want them to come, even if they don't know one little thing about Relay for Life or the American Cancer Society. Mm-hmm. Please come to find out more so that we can get you to buy in.
Okay.
And we can, you know, hook, line, and sinker, bring them in and get them to want to be there in May for our main event.
Sure. So now, at that particular point,
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I open up the shade to the window to see right next to me what appears to be the location of the incident. There are numerous, probably 1,000 people outside.
A witness to the mass shooting taking place at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood Airport in Florida. Five people are now confirmed dead, at least eight wounded after the gunman opened fire. The gunman now being identified as Esteban Santiago. Florida Senator Bill Nelson said the shooter had a military ID and opened fire in Terminal 2 baggage claim. President Obama responding to the video on Facebook of a disabled white man being beaten and tortured by four blacks, saying social media brings hate to the surface.
Part of what technology allows us to see now is the terrible toll that racism and discrimination and hate takes on families and communities.
Get more news online at usaradio.com.
If you have ever had an email account, shopped online, or used a credit card to make purchases, you are in dire jeopardy of identity theft. You must protect yourself now. Call our partner, ID Lion, at 1-800-941-6844 and sign up now for free. That's right, free. USA Radio Networks and ID Lion want everyone to have identity theft coverage. If you sign up now, we will give you a $50 gift card. Identity theft destroys credit and causes horrible issues for those that are hacked. Don't be a victim. Take advantage of this incredible free offer and sign up now. Call 1-800-941-6844. One out of every four Americans are going to have their identity stolen. Don't let it be you. It'll ruin your good credit score. Get protected and get your free $50 gift card. Call right now, 1-800-941-6844.
A former CIA chief is stepping down from the Trump transition. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Late yesterday, former CIA chief James Woolsey, who'd enthusiastically joined the Trump team last September, resigned. He says he has not recently been an advisor to the incoming president anyway.
When I kept being introduced on various television shows as a senior advisor for the transition, and that's not accurate and it's not fair to the people who really are doing the advising.
The Washington Post says a person close to Woolsey indicated the last straw for him has been Trump's loose style on Twitter. Woolsey had been a key member of the government intelligence community since the late 1970s. I'm Chris Barnes.
The lights on Broadway will be dim tonight in honor of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. The mother-daughter actresses died one day apart last week. The theater's dimming the marquee lights for 1 minute at 7:45 Eastern Time. Both Reynolds and Fisher made their Broadway debut in the comedy Irene in 1973. USA Radio News.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is for you to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR 4.51%. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
States across the South are preparing for one of the biggest winter storms in years. Here's Randy Bell in Mississippi.
The precipitation should be moving out by late tonight, and that's going to set the stage for the coldest weather of the season in Mississippi. Lows in some areas tonight will be in the teens. Joanne Kulin at the National Weather Service office in Jackson says it's going to feel even colder.
Wind chills on Saturday morning are going to be fairly brutal, with potential for some locations, especially across areas north of I-20, to see wind chills in the single digits.
And tomorrow night should be even colder than tonight, with lows in the teens across much of the state. Randy Bell in Jackson.
Puerto Ricans are celebrating Three Kings Day in New York. Here's Scott Pringle on the scene.
Thousands here, including many school children, enjoying and learning about this annual parade filled with colorful costumes, three giant king puppets, and real camels.
The three kings are so tall.
You like the colorful costumes?
Yes.
What do you got on your head here?
A crown.
Do you know what Three Kings Day means?
No.
This is the 40th annual parade here, where many Puerto Rican Christians are commemorating the Bible story of the three wise men who visited baby Jesus. On 106th at Park Avenue, Scott Pringle, New York.
The killer whale that attacked and drowned a SeaWorld trainer dead of natural causes. In March, SeaWorld said Tillicum's health had been deteriorating because of a bacterial infection. He'd been at SeaWorld for 25 years. USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. It's, the first Friday in January 2017. I don't know how many of you have continued to write 2016 when you're writing the year down. It does seem like it goes faster every year, doesn't it? And how about the weather? Well, we are going to have, and we had snow. I'm sure that most of our listeners woke up this morning to an inch or two of snow. But it's the roads have been cleared. Actually, they're getting much better these days and getting the roads cleared, even the back roads cleared. So it really wasn't a slippery, icy mess that we could have expected, and hopefully we won't have a rise in temperatures to the point where everything gets wet and then freezes again. So what should be happening tonight? Well, mostly cloudy tonight, not expecting any snow. By tomorrow, there is a chance of snow, mainly before 3 p.m. It's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 25 degrees. About a 40% chance of snow, so it'll probably depend on where you are. Should not be much of an accumulation. Tomorrow night, mostly clear. It is going to be cold, down around 10 degrees. By Sunday, it should be mostly sunny, and then mostly sunny and blustery. So it could be really blustery on Sunday, if you're outside. High of about 25 degrees on Sunday. Again, Sunday night, mostly clear, cold around 10 degrees. Then on Monday, again, mostly sunny, high of about 27 degrees. So we're down pretty much where we should be. And, of course, the interesting thing will be where the playoff games are and how cold it will be in those venues. But our weather here is pretty typical for the year. And I'm Pat Smits, and the program It's the Law, because it's Friday. And I'll be back after just telling you who a couple of our supporters are. So stay tuned, and we'll talk some general news about law.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed.
Sorry, but I don't want to hear about losing 20 to 40 pounds. Don't know about you out there, but most of us are, you know, probably sick of all the ads on television. Why is it right after the holidays they remind us that we may have eaten a little too much, may have gained a little too much weight? Anyway, we'll listen to that commercial later, maybe. So let's hear who else are our sponsors, some of our local sponsors, and then I'll be right back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Well, Stowaway is a local business, and probably too many of us have junk, and one of the things that I find with my business is I have to use storage, off-site storage, because as an attorney, we need to keep records for 7 years. Anyway, I'm Pat Smits. Those of you who know that I'm a family lawyer. My practice, although my office is now in Hunterdon County, my only office, I should say, is in Hunterdon County, I do practice family law around the state. And actually, I think I should start the program with a story I heard from one of my colleagues today. Most people who know me know that I am an avid Green Bay Packer fan. And of course, anyone who's, not under a rock, if they have any knowledge about football, knows that this is the first weekend of playoff games. And the Giants are playing against the Packers at Lambeau Field on Sunday. And this is the first playoff game. And the winner of that game will go on to see either one of the first or second seeds, depending on the rank of the team. But in any event, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is this colleague had to call me this afternoon to tell me that he had a former client call him. And she was rather incensed because her former husband wanted to change weekends, and she wanted to know what she could do to stop that. And when he inquired as to why he wanted to change weekends, she told him that her former husband wanted to take their two children to the playoff game in Green Bay. And I'm sure that on his part there was a pause. And then she went on to say not only was she opposed to this, for no reason, of course, but they would not be able to fly directly from Newark to Green Bay. Well, after I finished laughing, and, the difficulty in handling family law is there are many things that are very tragic. Most things are very serious. But then every once in a while you'll get this kind of a call. So my colleague said that he tried to assure her that she should not try to make a big deal of preventing the children, who I guess were teenagers, from going to the game with their father. Certainly he didn't think if they would win that if they went to court. And, of course, they certainly wouldn't if it was a sports fan who was a judge, because most of the judges, well, maybe they would, because the judge might say, well, no, they couldn't, so I'm being facetious here. But somebody would say, well, fine, I'll take the tickets off your hands and I'll go. So in any event, he convinced her that, she should not object and just take another weekend, which her husband was willing to give her. And then as far as a direct flight, there are no direct flights from the East Coast into Green Bay. In fact, if her husband was lucky enough to even fly into Milwaukee, and not have to fly into Chicago and then drive up to Green Bay for this game, that goes to show you that there's so many people in Wisconsin that, you know, go to the games. And however, remember, this is a Giant playoff game, and so the Giant fans, I'm sure as soon as they found out that they were going to Wisconsin, anyone who could get tickets did. And just one more aside. Now I guess I can talk about that on the sports program. But for those of you who don't know, the Giants-Packers are not one of the traditional rivalries. However, the Packers did beat the Giants at Lambeau earlier this year. I saw that game. However, I also was at the 2007 playoff game when the Giants won in overtime because Brett Favre threw an interception. In fact, I was really, you know, right above the field where he threw it. So this is not going to be an easy game for either team. But in any event, I thought that it's funny when law and sports collide. And I wish it would have been the husband who had called me because, believe me, there's no way that that any judge that I know of would have prevented this very reasonable request to take his kids to playoff games. In any event, let's get back to the news and what's happening in the news, legal news, that is. And there's not a lot happening over the holidays. Usually there are not a lot of reported cases. Courts are closed between Christmas and New Year's. But there are a few things in the headlines. For example, GE agreed to pay $9.5 million to settle technicians' wage claims. And this was a wage and hour class action by service technicians for the company. And they alleged that they were routinely required to perform certain tasks off the clock. So in other words, these were wage, not salaried people who, you know, they can get away with that. But these were hourly wage workers, and they sued GE saying that they were required to spend time that they were not paid for. So this was a settlement. And I'm not sure exactly what the claim was, but, you know, it is amazing sometimes we think $9.5 million, how can a company pay that? I guess it shows us how much they're really earning and that they would short hourly wage earners is, you know, depending on how you think about that, you know, these are people who are working for probably a 40-hour week and they're entitled to overtime if, in fact, they work longer hours. So, actually, the next thing I want to talk about is the New Jersey Supreme Court heard oral arguments on Wednesday about whether a New York healthcare lawyer and a California chiropractor can be held liable for violating New Jersey's Insurance Fraud Prevention Act by helping a New Jersey chiropractor set up a multidisciplinary practice in violation of state regulations. So, That is going to be, well, it was debated before the Supreme Court, and there will be a ruling on that. Now, the federal judge in Dallas cuts in half a $1 billion hip replacement, that's $1 billion hip replacement verdict against J&J. So the federal judge has slashed that verdict by nearly in half. After a jury punished the company, I should say, over hip replacement device made by its Dupuy Orthopedics division. There was a New York appeals court that decided unanimously that the way a jury was selected for a robbery trial in Queens violated the protections preventing the exclusion of jurors solely based on their race, color, creed, or religion. And this is in fact the law. It's in law, and the case was declared. The case is Bateson versus Kentucky, a U.S. Supreme Court case protects and prevents the exclusion of jurors solely based on their race, color, creed, or religion. And in this case, it was a skin color that was the issue. So there are a number of cases that were not approved by publication. four publication that are reported. But what are some of the other things that have been going on? Well, there's a RICO suit aimed at lawyers who sue bill collectors. And so five New Jersey lawyers who represent consumers have been named in a racketeering class action suit, accusing them of bringing meritless suits against collection law firms in hopes that the firms will agree to quick settlements. So that should be an interesting case, and see how far that goes, because some of these collection law firms go over the top as far as most of us are concerned. And so that these attorneys, these lawyers, were filing suit against the law firms who were these collection law firms. So I'm going to be following that case because I think that it really has a big impact on how certain firms and certain bill collectors can go against and go after people who owe them money. A new year has ushered in some big changes in taxes and bail procedures in New Jersey. And this is thanks mainly to a series of agreements between Governor Christie and the legislature, both houses of the state legislature. So these compromises or agreements are having and will have a huge impact on our court system. I know that there was an effort to appoint at least 20 new judges because some of the counties are going to be just overwhelmed and the amount of judicial time that's going to have to be spent on these bail procedures is going to be truly significant. I think every county has been worrying about this. The judges have been worrying about it. I know they're transferring more judges to the criminal division in order to handle all of these issues. For example, in Essex County, there is at least one judge I know who's been sitting on family for a number of years and was switched to criminal to deal with all of these issues that are going to come up. So this is going to be very significant. I hope to have a guest on in a few weeks to talk about the bail procedure changes. Now, there was also criticizing a plaintiff's firm for hiring temporary associates for routine document review, but billing as if they were normal staff associates. New York federal judge has cut $10.3 million off a fee request in a settlement of a mortgage-backed securities case against the Bank of America. And this is because this firm, the plaintiffs, hired temporary associates but billed as if they were normal staff associates. In other words, they were paying these associates, the temporary associates, much less, but billing them out as if they were paid as their other normal associates. And that is something that, attorneys never or should never do, obviously. If you're paying another attorney a certain amount per hour, there's no legitimate reason to increase that if, in fact, the attorney is not being paid. Now, it's different. Certainly, what attorneys that are associates in a firm are paid, the fact that they're charging an hourly rate that would exceed what they are actually getting in salary, obviously that has to happen because there's overhead and there's certain other expenses that a firm would have to incur. But the temporary use of temporary associates where they're billing out at substantially more than what they're earning and the overhead attributed to them is just wrong. Chief Justice, Justice Roberts, was saying nice things about the federal judiciary, as we would expect. Now, Large firms frequently file lawsuits or get sued in all sorts of litigation, such as legal malpractice claims, bill arguments with ex-clients, partnership disputes, and claims by ex-employees. Now, even though these suits tend to make headlines at the time they are filed, they are often quietly settled or dismissed. In fact, it would be interesting for some reporter at some point to go back and point out the big suits that were filed in a year and then what's happened to them a year later or maybe 2 years later. Now, a town's insurance company can seek indemnification from a contractor over damage to its municipal building, even after the contractor's insurer obtained a court order rescinding its policy. So, in other words, the contractor's insurer rescinded its policy. That does not protect the contractor. So, I'm not sure what the underlying reason that the insurer was able to rescind its policy, but it had to do, there's no question that it had to do with some kind of fraud or something else that was untrue in the application for insurance. But what this means is that the contractor is still liable for the damages. The town's insurance company can seek indemnification from the contractor. Now, the problem is the contractor probably is judgment-proof. There was a legal malpractice suit involving a man falsely accused of terrorism, the insurance company can't proceed with a legal malpractice suit against attorneys who settled the case involving a man falsely accused of participating in the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks. So, in any event, that was a decision in Pennsylvania. Now, the California plaintiffs, it was actually a firm, owes more than $1 million in federal corporate taxes and penalties relating to business expenses from two personal aircraft. Guess what? Somebody had personal private jet travel, and they were trying to deduct it, and the company was apparently trying to deduct it, and they owe $1 million in federal corporate taxes and penalties. Wow, that's got to be a blow. So, in fact, there are, you know, you can't have a corporate plane. Let's say someone has a corporate plane and they, you know, use it constantly and totally and solely for personal use. You can't deduct it. Now, as I said, there have been a number of cases recently that have not been approved for publication, which means that they're interesting. They often provide really good information, but because they're not published, it means that they don't have any precedent. If there's an appellate court case that's published, you can use it as precedent. If it's not, you cannot. And, of course, trial court cases, one trial court judge is not bound by the decision of another trial court judge. Now, we all know about the headlines, particularly in the criminal prosecution stemming from the Bridgegate scandal and corruption case. Well, the Bridgegate scandal, number one, and the corruption case against Senator Robert Menendez. Now, even though those cases will continue to make news, I'm sure there will be other cases that we'll be watching in 2017. Unfortunately, there are too many types of cases like this that we're watching in New Jersey, and it seems to be more routine than not. Now, in the appellate division, this is rather interesting. They offered some guidance on what we call an alter ego theory of jurisdiction, and they've ruled that an Indian pharmaceutical company cannot be sued in New Jersey Superior Court, even though its subsidiary's physical presence is in the state. So that was somewhat of a surprise. I have not read the opinion, and it's certainly an interesting opinion because I think that most attorneys would think that if, in fact, there's a subsidiary physically present in this state, that the company would be able to be sued here. Now, apparently, the New York Attorney General is asking federal officials to reject the proposal designation of 10 new anchorage sites in the Hudson River between Albany and New York City for petroleum-laden vessels. So we'll see if that works or not, but he doesn't want all those petroleum-laden vessels in the Hudson River. There's also, you know, everything is questioned. I really found this a bit unusual, but I guess I shouldn't. Ted Cruz is back in the news, and he sent a letter to officials of the Smithsonian Institution raised what they call the temperature on this simmering controversy over the new National Museum of African American History and the treatment of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas as part of that museum's exhibits. Now, I haven't been to the National Museum of African American History in Washington. It's the last it's the last museum, to be built on, I guess they call it the Quad. I certainly have heard very good things about it, and a good thing to take a trip and to hopefully learn much more about African American history. Although I guess, somebody thinks that Justice Clarence Thomas will have been slighted. I think that he will always be a controversial figure in light of the hearings, his confirmation hearings, and in light of the fact that many people believed his accuser and did not believe him. And to this day, do. And, you know, frankly, the other issue is how much has he contributed when he's been on the bench? I mean, there's certainly many other justices who have made great contributions. He certainly won't be listed among that group. So let me take a short break, and then I'll come back and tell you a little bit more about the people who are sponsoring us. And we'll be back to talk more about the legal news.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a
friend. Well, hi, I'm back. It's Pat Smits, family lawyer, but here today to talk about just some general legal information, news, legal news. Have not really talked about any cases specifically because there really haven't been any significant cases that have been published in the last couple of weeks. But one thing is if you're an employee at a university, if there's a discrimination suit, you better be very careful. And because the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, now remember, we're in the Third Circuit, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, is part of the Third Circuit. So there are district courts in New Jersey and then for federal district courts, and then the appeal from any of these courts goes up to the U.S. Court of Appeals. So that court has ruled that Montclair State University is an arm of the state of New Jersey and is therefore immune under the 11th Amendment from liability for an employee's discrimination suit. So this is a huge umbrella protection that not only the state, but a university, a state university, has the same protections. So, for example, same thing would happen with the College of New Jersey, or one of the local colleges. There would be a different standard for private schools such as Princeton and Rider. But the state schools, there would be immune based on this ruling under the 11th Amendment. So what does that mean if the Court of Appeals makes that decision? Well, unless the U.S. Supreme Court would take up the case, and the chances of them doing that are really slim to none, then the Third Circuit of Appeals decision stands. Now, what does happen sometimes is if there are decisions about the same issue in different by different circuit courts. In other words, this is the Third Circuit Court of the Third Circuit. If the Fourth Circuit, the Second Circuit, the Eighth Circuit had the same case and made a different ruling, that's when it's more likely that the Supreme Court will take up the case. So, for example, if it was in California and there was a similar suit against a state university in California, and the courts ruled for, in those cases, ruled for the plaintiff, then there would be a total conflict between the decisions of these two circuits. And that's when the Supreme Court often would take up this type of case just to clarify which circuit is right, or if neither one of them are, you know, what the rules should be. Apparently, there is some laughter at the U.S. Supreme Court during arguments, usually not the belly-shaking type, but more that quick wit or quick jab or self-deprecating moment. Now, there's some stories about lawyers and litigants behaving badly, and apparently that's happening during depositions. And sometimes people don't realize what it means to be on the record during a deposition. And either these folks don't mind being caught saying something or doing something ridiculous or horrible or whatever, because it's all going to be taken down. Now, apparently a Facebook post and subsequent supportive comments from a friend dashed a woman's chances for pursuing civil claims against the doctors who initially misdiagnosed her crippling Lyme disease as multiple sclerosis. Now, this Superior Court panel in Pennsylvania ruled on this suit. Now, I have no more information on it, but once again, it shows that people should be very careful about what they post on social media or Facebook. So, I don't know what the post was, so it's hard to say why the court ruled as they ruled. Now, there was also a mandate in New York on financial service companies to establish broad safeguards against cyber attacks, and that's being pushed back for 2 months, according to New York state regulators. Apparently, they couldn't get their act together in time, or people, it was just too premature. Now, there's also a lot of people in the area, many people in the area, work for Sanofi Aventis. And apparently, their Sanofi and its lawyers are accusing rival drug maker Novartis, Nordisk Inc. I thought it was Novo Nordisk Inc. of launching a false advertising campaign about the availability of Sanofi's insulin drugs. And their insulin drugs are Lantus and Trujillo. And so apparently that's the accusations. And, so don't say just people sue, and people are litigious, because some of the companies are also litigious. So with the U.S. Supreme Court taking a pass on a challenge to the $1 billion National Football League concussion settlement, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit's ruling upholding the settlement, and possibly its most high-profile decision of the year, was preserved. So in other words, the Supreme Court decided not to take up the case. And this is the kind of case that many people expected the court to do, meaning to take that up and take another look at what the Third Circuit had done, because the Third Circuit had approved this settlement. And, this is possibly the most high-profile case that went before the Third Circuit this year. Certainly significant, very significant. Now, U.S. Supreme Court decision, there was another U.S. Supreme Court decision that was significant. I mean, in the NFL case, they did not take it up, so they're not going to be making a decision. However, there was another a decision that was made by the U.S. Supreme Court that is significant, and that's the one in the way public corruption is prosecuted, and that is thanks to the decision overturning former Virginia Governor Robert McDonald's bribery conviction. So that is going to really, everyone who's dealing with public corruption has to look at that case and understand that case. So what else? Two recent decisions by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit appear to reflect the court's growing interest in the constitutionality of the government's use of location information obtained electronically from global positioning systems. I think maybe to understand this one, you have to watch some of the TV programs on, there are just so many of them now on what the police are doing and what they're not doing, because they can pinpoint, not just the police, but they can pinpoint almost exactly where you are. I happened to watch a segment on Blue Bloods, or actually the program on Blue Bloods, and one of the segments was this young man was standing outside a building trying to get in, screaming that the person who stole his computer was in fact inside the building. Well, the reason that he was able to determine that wasn't because the guy had run in the building. It was that he had certain controls set up on his laptop computer, and they were all pointing to this particular building. So, and sometimes it's almost scary how far we've come on these things. As I said, we want to talk about some of the biggest cases. There are new developments. They're going to the, if you're really interested, you look at the New Jersey Law Journal, and they report on cases and controversies, and especially the important ones. Again, New Jersey, who heard of Uber? I'm just trying to remember when that came into our vocabulary. It wasn't that long ago. And however, there are bills in the legislature in New Jersey that would regulate the app-based car sharing services, Uber and Lyft. And these were apparently approved by legislators at the end of December, and said that apparently Uber, amid a clash with California regulators, said it would end its autonomous vehicle program there and relocate the self-driving service to Arizona. So the New Jersey Supreme Court in 2016 brought a number of groundbreaking rulings and marked the first time in 6 years that it had a full complement of seven justices. So there were some groundbreaking rulings, and we finally had a complement of the full complement of justices after the deal that Governor Christie worked out. However, and I've talked about that before, however, I believe that what he did to lead up to that really put a damper on bright young attorneys who want to become judges, because he threatened not to reappoint any of the judges who were up for tenure. And that meant that they would have to leave the judiciary. And the only way they could come back is if they were reappointed. And, of course, many of them, that would make no sense, because they would be retiring before they would be able to be in the system long enough. Terrible, terrible decision. I mean, that that game playing, and, you won't do this for me, so I'm not going to give you your judges. And that's exactly what happened in this case, especially with Essex County, who at one point were down, I think, 10, 12 judges. So everything stopped in Essex County. And you might say, well, so what? Believe me, it is a so what. It really impacted on people. It impacted on people getting on with their lives. It impacted with everything. So they're voting on Donald Trump's, the most notable quote he made. But one of the top ones, I think, is when he told attendees at a campaign rally in Iowa that he could shoot someone in the middle of New York City's Fifth Avenue and not lose any votes. I mean, I know this is tongue-in-cheek, but, I mean, come on. Should you even say things like that? And we don't have to be totally politically correct, but there are boundaries, and, this certainly seems to be one of them. He really could say that, he could kill someone in Fifth Avenue and or shoot someone in Fifth Avenue, New York, and not lose votes. Anyway, his vow to eliminate the estate tax during his presidential campaign, calling the old tax a disaster and a horrible weapon that has destroyed many families. Again, someone has to really look at the estate tax, because the federal estate tax, you have to have what I would consider a ton of money before there's going to be any federal estate tax. Now, it is true that perhaps New Jersey should take another look, but we're talking about the federal tax here. I think what I'm going to do is just take a couple more minutes break, give myself a little break here, and we'll be back after a few notes from our sponsors. Hope you keep listening.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected?
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, welcome back. It's the Law. I'm Pat Smiths, and we have a few more minutes to talk about some of the legal news. One of the things that I talk about a lot is the legal news. And so, of course, there are references to, leaders in the legal community, the governor, attorneys, and judges. So the fact that there is so much of a focus simply means that I'm reporting legal news. If I was reporting sports, I'd be talking about something completely different. So another thing that, talking about a law firm, a former client of the law firm, Flaster Greenberg, who claims a litigation partner at the New Jersey firm altered his email and attempted to extort $650,000 in fees from him, had his federal suit dismissed. So the court said, nope, it's, your suit is bogus. Now, a federal antitrust enforcers on Tuesday, approved with concessions AMC Entertainment Holding, Inc., their proposal that for $1.2 billion they would acquire the rival Carmike Cinemas, Inc. And this was a purchase the U.S. Justice Department said would have otherwise threatened to raise ticket prices in parts of Florida, Georgia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and other markets. But they were still able to do it. And, I mean, this shows if there is no competition, there is nothing to stop raising prices, obviously, unless people stop going to the movies. Now, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. This is it's usually litigants 100, lawyers 0. But this is a different. And this is the Third Circuit upheld a $1 million award for a lawyer defamed by a litigant. And the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit has for the second time upheld this $1 million verdict won by a New Jersey lawyer who claimed his former client conducted a smear campaign against him. And unfortunately, that's not all that unusual, especially today with the internet. It's very easy to go out and badmouth lawyers, and no one will know whether or not it's bona fide or not. And that's probably the biggest problem. I mean, how do you review not only lawyers, but how do you review anybody's reviews and determine what's bona fide and what's not? I mean, if there are complaints, are they justified complaints or are they not justified complaints? I think that is a real problem, but at least here there was a verdict for the attorney who was able to support his claim that the former client conducted a smear campaign against him. So that, frankly, shows that there is justice. Sometimes. Now, IKEA, most people have heard of IKEA. They have a big facility across from the airport in Union County. And if you don't know, IKEA is a Swedish furniture company. And they've actually agreed to pay $50 million to three families whose children were killed when the company's dressers fell on them. I mean, this is really tragic that these three children died because the dressers fell on them. And that was the $50 million suit is obviously a substantial amount of money, but the court and the jury found that what the witnesses did, I was misspeaking. What the company did when this was happening, and that they didn't make the dressers safe enough that they wouldn't fall over and, you know, actually kill children. Now, the American Bar Association, a group of individual public interest lawyers, sued the U.S. government, the Department of Education, complaining that the agency illegally walked back a loan forgiveness program to encourage attorneys to take low-paying public sector positions. In other words, they're saying that the government failed when they didn't comply with what they're saying was the agreement. Going back a couple weeks, the defendants, William Baroni and Bridget Kelly, filed motions for new trial in the middle of the month, and they faulted a number of missteps in the six-week trial, which culminated in their convictions on conspiracy and fraud charges. So they filed for new trial. Is it going to be a here we go again? I mean, they have to give a basis. You can't try a case, not like the basis, and then, you know, not like the basis for the decision, and then ask for a new trial. So there was a long shot effort to force U.S. Senate action on the Supreme Court nomination of Merrick Garland, but that failed at the hands of Chief Justice John Roberts. Okay, I thought something was going to be playing there, but apparently it wasn't. Let's try again.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for... The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdon.com.